Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Economics Design Podcast. Today, I'm excited to be joined by our guest, Chris, from Token Engineering Labs. Thanks for joining me, Chris.
Hi, thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to talk to you guys today.
So do you want to give us a quick intro about yourself and what you're building at Token Engineering Labs?
Yeah, sure. So hi, I'm Chris. I'm based in Vienna. I'm the founder of Token Engineering Labs. We are a company that designs token systems. And I've been doing this for the last 5-6 years now. I started doing this because I wanted to build a token system by my own at some point. And eventually I found out that I don't know, but also no one in the space knows how to properly build token systems, how to design token economies, how to, you know, parameterize your token economy, how to build the mechanisms that you want to have. So this is why I decided to go the academic way and start a PhD in this area. And then now, after my PhD is, you know, about to be concluded and eventually soon, I am in the lucky position to be able to continue working in a space. And this is what the Token Engineering Labs is doing. Token Engineering Labs is both a company but also a community. So we have client projects, but also we do community work.
Interesting. So you mentioned there you're completing your PhD. How many people have completed a PhD before in crypto economics?
I know of actually one person, or actually two people. I know two people that have completed this. One colleague of mine from the ETH in Zurich, and one other colleague from the WU university with whom I was studying in Vienna, actually. So I know of two, but I'm not sure if there are similar programs around the world somewhere that could be classified as token engineering or crypto economic programs. So I know that there are many institutions, many universities which focus on to some extent at different crypto areas or Web3 areas or blockchain based education systems, right? So stuff like that. I don't know if they would call their program crypto economic or token engineering. They rather would not, I guess, but this will happen in the future pretty soon. Yeah,
and like complex systems engineering, for example, is a term that's used intertwined with token engineering, I believe. So similar processes there. So why don't you share a little bit about how your PhD route has brought you into the role that you're currently doing with Token Engineering Labs? And when did you kind of decide that token engineering or crypto economics was what you wanted to focus on for your career?
Yeah, so this goes a bit backwards to the time when I started thinking about token systems. So, I have a background in mathematics. So my formal education is mathematics. And I've been working in banking and finance after I completed my master's. But for some reason, I got the chance at some point to explore crypto systems and crypto economies for 6 months. And I was basically thinking about my own token system at this point in time. And what I found is that most of the things that are being used or are about to be used in the design and in implementation of those systems is something that resonates quite a bit with what I've been learning at university when I was studying back then. And this is why I decided that, hey, this has actually a lot of things in common with what I was doing in the past, what I like so much about mathematics, what I like so much about crypto economics and token engineering and crypto stuff, but also about complex and dynamical systems, but haven't got to use in practice in banking and finance. So this is why I decided to take this road and I decided to find out. And then I met some amazing people in the space very early on who helped me who were just contributing to the space of token engineering and crypto economics, and they had a major impact on how I'm thinking about these things and which route I took in the design and of my PhD curriculum.
So I want to do two things next. I want to firstly, we'll get into a little bit of a discussion about what the heck crypto economics is, but before we do that, I want to talk on one point, which is the idea that crypto economics and cryptocurrencies are a fad. This was a point in 2018, 2019 that was pretty popular. People weren't sure if crypto was here to stay or not. So for people who know a little bit about cryptocurrencies, for people who maybe understand a little bit of economics, why is this an emerging field that's going to continue to grow over the next 10 years?
I mean, obviously, I'm an advocate of this field because I've put everything at stake and decided to go full crypto at some point. But I did this because I I trusted my understanding of the field. So I trusted that what I see happening and what I see people doing is in line what makes sense in applications, but also in theory and in practice, right? So this is why it has so many benefits over, I mean, coming from the traditional banking system, you know, there is no comparison, right? So what you do in crypto is obviously much, much more efficient and much more streamlined and much more practical to conduct, you know, transactions or to conduct, you know, economic activities compared to all of the other digital banking applications that you would need to use in order to do the same thing in the traditional way. But it has so many arguments. It has the argument that you can utilize all of the data that you have at your disposal and build robust systems, that all of the data that you have is transparent, so you can rely on the mechanisms that you're building, that they will fulfill what they are supposed to do because they are transparent and they are, you know, rigorously designed and they are taking everything into account. You cannot hide information from those mechanisms and so on and so on. So it's basically with all of the features that it has so many arguments for that. It is improving on every scale what the traditional systems are doing. So this is one of the things that you can one of the ways that we can think about why crypto is here to stay, because it, you know, it automates a lot of stuff, it improves a lot of stuff, it makes things more robust. We are able to design things properly and take all of the data and information we have into account before we design the mechanism. So this is amazing. Another indicator of why crypto is good and why it is meant to stay is you simply have to follow where people are going, right? So the smartest minds and the best people in their field are transitioning to crypto. So this itself is an indicator of there has to be something to it, because there is not a chance that so many smart people are making this mistake and making this wrong evaluation of the promises and benefits of crypto and Web3. And obviously this is also in line with not only smart people but also with capital, right? You see that capital allocation and investments that go into the space. So those are just, you know, signals for me that make me believe that I'm on the right path. Obviously still, you know, being at the very early stage of the field and just exploring what it's up to bring. So I'm not even in the position to say why it's good or bad, because I understand so little about what crypto actually really is, because there is so much to explore. But from what I know, from what I've seen, I can tell that it's definitely something that is improving the ways how we conduct business over the internet or digital communication, or, you know, like just transaction spaces in the digital world. So this is very cool.
Yeah, so let's talk about crypto economics. Do you want to tell us, like, a high level overview, a quick summary? What is crypto economics? You know, why is crypto economics important?
Yeah, crypto economics is basically the synthesis of economics and engineering. So it uses the concept of, I want to find out why systems work in a particular way, or why people behave in a particular way, or why resources are being allocated in a particular way in an economic setting. So this is the economic part of it. Compared to aligned with, okay, on the other hand, you have all of the data and all of the information that is, you know, digital available, and you can therefore plug them into your data analytics, but also into your mechanism design. So this allows you to build robust mechanisms, applying robust methodologies from engineering, science, and those domains, things that have not been able to be used in economics so far, right? So when you look at, for example, how traditional banking system works, you would see that the central bank operates with a delay of 8 quarters. So they take into account all of the information they gather, and then they make policies based on what they see. And until those policies have an impact, it takes, you know, up to 2 years, so that, you know, the economy is controlled to an extent, right? And this is a huge latency in the working, because both the data is not available, but also the methodology that they are applying is not that robust, right? Because it's not a digitalized, trustworthy system they're operating in. And this is basically how you could compare to a crypto economy, where you would have all of the information at your disposal, and when you would be able to apply, you know, this heavy machinery and try to make sound and quick and reasonable decisions, basically reacting much quicker and much more targeted to what you want to achieve with the system.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I'm curious on the topic of crypto economics. My perception of certain subject areas is that typically industry is ahead of the academics, right? That typically academia is catching up scientific journals or catching up with information. What's your experience on the topic of crypto economics? Is this being led by academics or is this being led by industry?
Both. So you see, it started obviously by industry. So you had those people who wanted to build systems, mostly software developers who were just, you know, like implementing their stuff because they understood what they are building, right? So they understood coding, they understood software development, and they prototyped pretty quickly things that were functional, right? So it was very easy, and it was very easy to see that the industry developed or pioneered with respect to some of the applications, right? But this is only, you know, like so good until you find out that things are maybe not thought through till the end, right? So that there are attack vectors or that there are implications that are not foreseen, and therefore the system doesn't work as it is it was initially intended to work. So once you start talking about system critical infrastructure, so you know the financial system or financial applications or you know a currency or a unit of exchange, and then you would want to make sure that you have properly built and designed systems. So this means that at this stage it would be good if you are not, you know, trying to lead by industry, but you would try to lead by academia, right? So you would try to research and you would try to validate your mechanisms or your systems before you make them operational in practice. And many people and or the whole community, whole society relies on them. So this is basically saying that yeah, it started basically by a push of industry, but then you saw in industry academic players catch up. And what I see happening now more and more, and this is so awesome, is that you have you know academia and industry team up. So the pioneers in the space are not only building new systems, but they are also working with top-notch people from academia to make sure that they have, you know, research departments, that they have properly, you know, like modeled systems and designed before they go live. So it is now a partnership, I would say, but it definitely started with a push from the industry and then academia caught up. But you have to remember that the academic research and publication process is very rigorous, right? So you need some time up until you get, you know, scientific statements or scientific results. So it takes some time until you can say, okay, yeah, this is the consequence of this design. And crypto was so quick in the last years that no one wanted to wait for, you know, 2, 3 years until something was peer reviewed and published and discussed and until it was implemented. So I think that there is a lot of room for improvement in the space for projects actually to you know have a bit, little bit more patience. To see before they really build something and go live with the system, to have it properly designed and validated, that so that they make sure that it simply works. So this would be the goal, right?
Yeah. And something I think that's particularly interesting about the field of crypto economics, and this is true for certain fields, but I think also this one specifically, is you can come from a computer science background and more or less become a crypto economist just because of like how significant of a role computer science and data science plays with blockchain technology, like programming in Solidity or in Rust, developing smart contracts, all heavily ties to designing systems in the context of cryptocurrencies and crypto economics. So it's this very diverse field. As you mentioned, you have a mathematics background, people have economics background, and are all kind of collectively coming together and solving this problem or solving these problems and furthering the field, which I think is something that's pretty cool. What would you recommend to people who would like to learn a little bit more about crypto economics, who don't necessarily, who maybe, let's say, have a little bit of background in economics, but don't have a formal education by any means, in that field?
Okay, so two answers here. So, like, if you really don't have a formal education, but you are heavily interested and you want to work in this space, just the best way to do it is start working on a project and acquire the education. So you have to, like, coming into the space, you have to accept that you will be learning, and you need to, you know, like, have some formal methodologies and theories, you know, familiarized, because so many things that are happening in Web3 are, you know, the conversations are being held on this, you know, academic research level. You need to be able to catch up and to follow the discussions, right? So once you have an interest, a strong interest in the field, it's good that you have a place to start, but you should, you know, choose one particular field of your interest and try to deepen your knowledge and see how this translates to the project you're currently working on or to the thing that you're trying to develop. And if you do have a formal education, so what I see happening in the space is more like there is someone who is a specialist in one particular area and now wants to do crypto economics or now wants to work on a crypto project, right? And this is obviously very nice, because there are already some prerequisites that they can mm-hmm. start from, and the goal would be to start an interdisciplinary approach. So, like, based on the foundations that you have from this one domain, try to learn as much as possible from the other domains so that you are connected and understand what they're talking about, because on the project team or on the in the field, you will be working with experts in the other areas and in the other domains, and you need to be able to communicate between them. So you would consider yourself to be, you know, a specialist in one particular domain, in one particular direction, but you mm-hmm. would want to be able to work interdisciplinary or multidisciplinary. So this would be then your target. So what I'm actually saying is never stop learning, you know, like, find interest in learning new stuff, but don't discard scientific methodologies, because they are there for a reason, and those things, you know, are valid for quite some time already. So it's good to keep them in mind and just, you know, deepen your own understanding about one field and try to utilize what you know and apply it to practice.
Mm-hmm. So on the subject of learning, do you want to share a little bit about what your PhD was in?
Yeah, so obviously, I mean, like, coming into the space 5 years ago, it was very difficult to have a comfortable position, in the sense there was no proper, you know, like, there was no proper program, there was no proper even publication venue, there was no proper, let's say, mentor, or no proper, you know, like, no one whom you could turn to and say, hey, this is what you need to do in order to be an expert in crypto economics in 5 years, because the field was so new and no one knew actually what to do. And what to publish, what to research. And this is obviously even harder if you are in the PhD program, when you are supposed to follow one particular track, right? So the idea of the PhD program is to become an expert in one field and, you know, get acquainted with the theories and methodologies in this field and go to conferences and meet people from this field. But this was so diverse and so challenging to achieve and so challenging to pin down. So what I then decided to do is I decided to split my time between working and in academia and working in practice. So I was consistently working on projects, on applied projects, so that I get the first-hand experience of, you know, which problems projects are trying to solve and how interesting questions can be derived from that. But also I was working with the experts in academia and at my university, the Vienna University of Economics, where I was trying to understand people who are, you know, like, scientists for 20 years already, and the advice that they've been giving me in order how to tackle problems. So again, synthesizing practice and theory a bit. And what I've then chosen to do is to write different papers on different problems in the space between, you know, game theory and mechanism design. So how to build systems, how to design mechanisms, how to find solutions to economic problems, both on the layer one. So for example, I wrote a paper about Bitcoin pool mining. So how to build mechanisms so that miners are incentivized not to attack the other pool. And how, you know, this system can be improved. But also I was working a bit in DeFi on the AMM space, how to design, you know, decentralized exchanges, how to talk about different structures of those systems and how to define mechanisms such as, for example, fee mechanisms in this context, and so on and so on. So now transitioning more into metaverse and gaming applications, basically following the field, so trying to contribute to the crypto community in an academic fashion, where the current discussion is also as well.
Yeah, what I think is cool about the crypto space is you see a lot of people from different backgrounds all kind of solving problems collectively. And when I read, for example, Mastering Ethereum, when I read the story of how Ethereum was built and everything that followed, it was very cool. It's a very interesting discovery. The way it kind of was created was interesting. The way that it continuously is developed is even more interesting. And lots of the time when I'm speaking to people who don't know a whole lot about cryptocurrencies or crypto economics for that matter, one of the selling points I'd like to say is it's an innovation created by, in a lot of senses, very bright minds in computer science and data science, as well as some ties to finance. And after realizing that it's really a technological innovation, I mean, blockchain's discussed a lot, but unfortunately, there's a lot of scams associated with it as well. It becomes very important for people like you and I to express this point that this is a very cool piece of technology that, as you had mentioned, the smartest people are working with and are continuing to build even further through decentralized applications, through studying economic theories that are tied back to, instantiating cryptocurrencies into a project. So a bunch of very cool things happening in the crypto space. And that's part of the reason that I actually actively got involved in this, because I saw this as a very cool opportunity to get a little bit more on the ground floor and associate myself with some of these projects and learn about crypto economics and building some of these system designs. So, Chris, to finish off the podcast for today, last question. Do you have any hot takes you would like to share about crypto economics or the crypto space in general, or have any recommendations or feedback for people?
I mean, so what passionates me most is that we are actually at a very early stage. So I'm super excited every day when I wake up to say, okay, I know that I'm going to learn something new and I'm going to push this the understanding a little bit further. But by developing new ideas, we also open up the new unknown, right? So we are continuously, expanding the space and expanding our understanding. But what I really see like seeing happening currently is that people are strongly collaborating, that people are strongly sharing ideas, that it's such a supportive community, and that you get to collaborate with people from all around the world who really, really, really want to build something new and something exciting. And there is no, this idea of, like developing things in the back and not sharing your thoughts, because everyone knows that it's only good to be open and supportive to each other, because as a collaborative space, we can develop new things much more efficiently. So this is what I appreciate a lot. So basically, this would be a call for action to everyone. Just like join your most favorite DAO. Just try to contribute there. Just make sure that you are learning a lot, and make sure that you bring in your expertise and knowledge from your previous life into crypto. And hopefully we can do something great together.
Perfect. Sounds great. And I would be happy to have you on another episode where we get into a little bit more of the nitty-gritty of crypto economics for those who like to get into those details. So that said, thanks for joining me on the podcast, Chris. It was great to have you today.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Bye bye.